In the audiovisual room of the main library on Chestnut Street Saturday, I accept a $1 late fee and punch the register's cash key. The foundry odor of copper and base metals teases the back of my tongue. Suddenly, I am 6 years old. I sit cross-legged at my father's feet as he watches the evening news with Walter Cronkite and studies paperwork he carried home in a blonde leather briefcase. I can count to 100 now, and my father promised me a dollar bill for 100 of the pennies rattling behind the cork of my piggy bank. I count quietly with wonder. How can anyone so wise make such a generous error in judgment? Sunday morning, I am shopping in the produce department of Walmart on Sigmund Road when, without warning, the prickly, warm, acidly taut odor of tomatoes wafts in my direction. I am 10 years old. I stand knee-deep in sun-whitened foxtails with a food giant grocery bag beside me. I stare into the furred stems and sticky leaves of the tomato plants in my father's garden in the dry heat of a windless California afternoon. Eventually, my eyes adjust to the spectacular red and green camouflage, and I find myself staring at the horned splendor of a tomato worm. Its flesh plumps and leaks as I pull the 3-inch beast away from the vine and drop it among its brothers in the blotted bag. 5 cents a worm. My father's a generous man. Sunday afternoon, I find myself standing at the display of paint chips at Lowe's Home Improvement in the University Center. Our front door needs a fresh coat of paint, and I ponder the relative merits of Waverly's Mandarin Jade and Eddie Bauer's Weathered Glass. Aisles away, a power saw zings and buzzes. I catch a whiff of fresh sawdust, clean and hot, and I am 12 years old. I stand against the workbench holding a pine board against the guide as my father zips the spinning blade across the grain. We are cutting shelves to install near the ceiling of my bedroom to store the stuffed animals I no longer sleep with. I will paint the shelves turquoise to match my new bedspread. My father died on May 10, 2012, 3 weeks after he decided to end the transfusions that kept his veins stocked with the red blood cells of people he'd never met. In the foothills of the San Gabriel Mountains, my parents' house sits vacant. The garage protects my father's car, tethered to a power source to keep the battery from dying. His workbench is cluttered with broken sprinkler heads and aluminum pie pans, corralling rusted nails. Sawdust clings to the cobwebs, crisscrossing the pitted blade of the table saw. In the backyard, weathered stakes mark the location of my father's vegetable garden. And in my father's bottom dresser drawer, there is a bulging brown sock. It is heavier than you might expect. It is filled with hundreds of pennies.